I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that thou wilt apply the inspired word to our hearts by the same Holy Spirit who gave it, all to the honor of Jesus Christ. Amen. The almost invariable pattern of St. Paul in his epistles is to first lay the foundation of sound doctrine, and then secondly to build upon it Christian ethics. So the first 11 chapters of Romans have all been laying the foundation of sound doctrine. You probably heard people say Christianity is not about doctrine, it's about Christian life. That's not what the apostles believed. They believed that the Christian life had to be founded upon sound doctrine. And so that is a foundation Paul lays in his epistles and has in this one. In the first 11 chapters, he taught us that the whole world is guilty before God, even the heathen who have never heard the gospel. They're all guilty. All need a Savior, and the only Savior is Christ. And the only way to be saved is to believe on Him. Works cannot save anyone. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight. Then he taught the doctrine of sanctification, chapter 6, that the way to overcome sin is by relying on the power of the indwelling Christ. After that, he explained that your salvation was predestined. It was part of God's eternal plan. And that He chose you, the doctrine of election, graceful election, quite apart from any deserving on your part. And then He showed us lastly, last week, God's plan to save His elect, both Jew and Gentile, is by drawing them into the olive tree, the church of Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit giving them faith. Now we come to the ethical portion, and I've summarized these first 8 verses, all of life for God. That's what Paul says in the first verse. Give yourselves a living sacrifice to Him. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You remember the old saying that when there is a therefore or wherefore, find out what the therefore or wherefore is there for. The therefore here refers to the previous 11 chapters. All that I have taught you about God's saving love, His amazingly wise salvation plan, because of that, what should your reaction be? Your reaction should be to present your bodies a living sacrifice in gratitude to Him. He's using the Old Testament language with a New Testament twist. The Old Testament sacrifices were animals that were killed, and the sacrifice ended up being a dead sacrifice. He wants you to be a living sacrifice, your life in service to Christ. The Old Testament temple was built of senseless stones. St. Peter says the New Testament temple is built up of living stones. This is your reasonable service, the service that makes sense in light of all that God has done for you. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The positive, present your bodies, and he means the whole person, a living sacrifice to God. The negative, don't act like the worldly people with their values. I hear people sometimes who profess to be Christians and their values are all out of the world. This cannot be. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This word in the Greek for transformed is found only three places in the New Testament. Here, in 1 Corinthians, where it says we're being transformed from glory to glory into the image of Christ, and on the Mount of Transfiguration, where Christ is transformed by revealing his divine glory to the eyes of his three disciples. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. As you read the Bible, and this is why I urge you all to read the Bible every day. I think it's one of the most valuable things I do for my spirit is to read the Bible through once a year. That transforms your mind. It gives you the guidebook for life. So it is sitting under the preaching of God's Word. And when your mind is renewed, you are able to know the perfect will of God. In other words, you are able to understand the laws and principles of the guidebook. This is the perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. The very first virtue the apostle mentions is humility. St. Augustine said, there are three things necessary for holiness. Humility, humility, and humility. You've heard of location, 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 right? Humility, humility, humility. Pride is of the devil. It's pride that made Satan into the devil. It's pride that made the angels in heaven that fell with him into demons. Pride makes angels demons, and pride makes humans demons. Scripture has a lot to say about this. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. He that exalts himself shall be abased. He who abases himself shall be exalted. So instead of thinking yourself more highly than you ought to think, and being critical of others, it's helpful to be aware of your own shortcomings and look for the good in others. Think highly of them. I think it was Abraham Lincoln who said, every man is my superior in some way. No matter how many gifts you have, somebody has gifts you don't have. He says, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. It means the Lord has gifted all Christians in some way, but not all in the same way, and not all in the same measure. So you need to find out what your gifts are and use them for Christ. Now, St. Paul specifically addresses service in the church. And although he's speaking here to church officers, the principles are applied broadly to all members of his church. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. This is St. Paul's favorite example of how the church functions, like a human body. You probably know that in Corinthians he develops this at much greater length, this analogy. But his main point is the same. We're all members one of another. The church is organic. We're connected by one spirit. We all have different functions, but we're all in the same body under the head, Christ. Some churches are like a box of marbles. The only connection they have with each other is they're in the same box. A church the Holy Spirit is working in as an organic church. He distributes different gifts to people, and they're all working in different ways, but they're all working together for the same body. Not every member has the same function. You know, Paul develops this in Corinthians. A foot needs the hand needs a foot. The eye needs the ear, and the ear needs the eye. His point is God has gifted each member of the church, but not each in the same way. And that's a very good thing. Would you like to be in a church where God made everyone the preacher? What chaos that would be. Everyone's a preacher. There's no missionary society. There's no trustees. There's no deacons. There's no evangelistic outreach. Everybody's the preacher. Every member contributes something to the function of the body. And that's why we need to discover our own gifts and use them for the Lord. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. First, he addresses the ministers of word and sacrament with the grace of prophecy. Now, people usually think of prophecy in the very narrow sense of predicting the future. And of course, prophecy sometimes does mean that. But it's much broader in the Bible. It simply means declaring the will of God. It can mean explaining the scriptures. Preaching is prophesying in the biblical sense because it's declaring the will of God. The Puritans called preaching prophesying. They were using the biblical term correctly. Now he says, prophesy according to the proportion of faith. This means according to what in theology is called the analogy of faith, analogia fidei. That's not the faith that you believe. It's not the faith by which you believe. It's the faith that you believe. Two kinds of faith. There's a faith by which you believe. I trust in Jesus Christ. And there's a faith that you believe. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is a faith that you believe. The analogy of faith is something like the Nicene Creed. That's an analogy of faith, the proportion of faith. And no preacher can go beyond that, beyond those parameters. Even in the Old Testament, a prophet was judged by the same way. If he contradicts Scripture, he's a false prophet. A preacher who contradicts the Bible is a false prophet. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. We're all called to exhort one another, but some have a special gift of exhortation. There may be a brother or sister who needs a special word of comfort or guidance. There are some people who are really gifted to do that. Then he addresses the elders. They should rule with diligence, take their job seriously. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. And lastly, the deacons. Their task is twofold. They are to distribute the church alms to those in need, giving with, as St. Paul says, simplicity, without partiality. The other task of the deacons is to visit the sick, showing mercy. And he says this they should do cheerfully, not grudgingly or necessity. And deacons should remember, and this goes for all church members, when you visit the sick, you're visiting Jesus. He said, I was sick, and you visited me. So whoever you are, God has work for you in the body of Christ. And I'd like to conclude with reminding you of Christ's parable of the talents. He distributed different numbers of talents to different people. And that shows that any gift you have is not from you, it's from God. But you also should remember at the end of that parable, the day comes when the Lord is going to ask you what you did with those gifts and give account of how you invested them. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let us pray. Indeed, Lord, when we remember our lost estate, the freedom of our salvation by faith alone and Christ alone, our predestination and election and love, we should therefore present our whole lives as living sacrifice to Thee. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Amen.